Auburn football's offense is about to take a huge step forward.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 31 of the Top Button Podcast, and I'm your host, Charlie Five. That music gets me jacked every single time, and we're ready to rock and roll. We're ready to talk about spring football. A-Day's right around the corner, and we had some interesting interviews on Tuesday that we're going to talk about, and I think a lot of the information we gleaned from it is going to help us understand how this offense is going to take a big, big step forward next year. A lot more cohesion, it sounds like, and honestly, kind of gets me jacked for A-Day. And we'll talk about that as well. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes. I wonder if Ford's going to be there for A-Day. So if he's there, maybe we can schedule a meetup or something like that. But check him out, Active Wealth Management, annuity360.net. You know, when you talk about investing safely, you know, a lot of times people's first thoughts go to CDs. Let's go do CDs. I know it's not going to gain a lot of interest, but it's safe. Well, reach out to Ford and he can tell you how you can earn two times what the typical CD earns as far as interest goes and still have a lot of the same safety features, as well as a 30% market buffer when you invest with Active Wealth Management. He's an Auburn guy. I'm sure he's as fired up about spring as us. So if nothing else, you can make an Auburn friend. So give him a shout. Ford Stokes, activewealthmanagement.com or annuity360.net. Let's go. All right. So Tuesday, I'm going to take a little credit for this. I'm not going to lie. You know me, I love to pat myself on the back. So Tuesday, the next round guys, Ryan Brown, Lance Taylor, all those guys came to Auburn. Came to the Auburn facility. They interviewed every single human being there could possibly be in Auburn, every coach, every sport, a lot of players, things like that. It was great. But I'm going to take a little bit of credit because I kind of, you know, they did one at Alabama several weeks ago. You know, I think they get a rap sometimes for sort of being beating the drum for Alabama. But I love the show and I love the guys. I've met a couple of them in person several years back, but I like to mess around with them on Twitter a little bit. And I said, I can't wait to see the Auburn version. You know, I can't wait to see the Auburn version. This was back in February. And what's funny is like, I'm pretty sure there was not anything planned. Maybe there was, but because they were like, well, we would love to do one at all. You know, it kind of triggered them a little bit because not only Ryan Brown interacted with me on Twitter, I think the dang show's producer started interacting with me on Twitter. And then all of a sudden, it gets announced they're going to come do a live show from Auburn, which I think is great publicity in general, but just another chance to hear from Hugh Freeze, talk to the players, and then all the other coaches as well. They actually do a live segment every week with Stephen Pearl. So there is some Auburn flavor there, but it was good to see them on campus. And we heard a lot of interesting comments and sort of had, for me anyways, a lot of confirmation about, I guess, how we viewed or how the coaches viewed the way last year really went. And the reason behind the way last year went as far as the offense goes. So I want to start off by making a very important distinguishment may not be a word, but a very important difference between two words. Okay, and I put this out on Twitter before, but I want to pound it in right now. There's an excuse, and then there's a reason, okay? An excuse is, it wasn't my fault. There's nothing I could do to fix it, and I'm not doing anything to fix it. And I'm just going to hope it doesn't happen again. I'm doing everything right. Something happened out of my control. I couldn't do anything about it. And then there's a reason, okay? Look, this is the reason this happened. It was on me, and this is what I'm going to do to fix it, okay? So when Hugh Freeze talks about the whole setup of last year, when he talks about how he was going to step back, and he talked about this in some of his interviews, you know, I was going to step back. I was going to work hard on rebuilding this roster, rebuilding through recruiting. And I think he said it multiple times. It was either, I don't know if it's fully a mistake because it yielded great results in recruiting, but hey, I didn't do a good job of coaching, and that's all under that umbrella. It wasn't. Now he does give you, you know, this is why it was, you know, I was stepping back from play calling the first time ever in my whole career. I hired a guy that was going to essentially be the head coach of the offense. It was a, you know, terminology that I wasn't necessarily 100% familiar with. And there was just not a lot of cohesion. Okay. Now, typically, you know, if you're given an excuse, you just throw everybody under the bus and you say, you know, it wasn't my fault. It was their fault. But he said, I made poor decisions. It was on me. And, you know, it sort of further cements that in when you hear Peyton Thorne say things like, I love the way that we're working with Coach Nix. I'm buying into everything that he's saying. Quite frankly, there was just no details last year. There was no details. And this year, there's the details are what's so important, what's being preached. And I think that's what a lot of guys are buying into. And that's what's going to help us, you know, move forward. Now, I've seen so many comments where people are like, how could you let this happen? You know, blah, 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 blah. And I get it. It's year one. You want to kind of start building something. And I think we did build something from a roster replenishment scenario, but at what expense? You know, we put a terrible product on offense out there last year. For whatever reason, the marriage of the offensive staff and Phillip Montgomery and Hugh Freeze just didn't click. It didn't click. There's been reports that, you know, Phillip Montgomery barely spent any time with, you know, one-on-one with the quarterbacks. There's been, you know, all kinds of stuff about, hey, the lack of, you know, film preparation before, you know, the bowl game, or lack of film preparation at times. And, you know, when you make a mistake, you fix it immediately and you move forward. And you don't necessarily, you can't say it wasn't my fault. And I don't think Hugh Freeze has ever said that. He's going to hit the great thing about Hugh is he's so incredibly honest that sometimes that he gives you too many details. But he'll straight up tell you he's telling us what happened last year, why, the reasoning behind it, and then what we're doing moving forward. Now you have essentially three heads at this offensive of this offensive staff, not three heads. You have three, I guess three guys pulling in all the same directions. And I talked about it before. When you look at Hugh, Cadillac, and Phillip Montgomery to Hugh, Derek Nix, and Kent Austin, you were talking about a massive upgrade. Maybe not necessarily from a, if nothing else, for a everybody being on the same page and pulling in the same direction. And I think that's massive in and of itself, that you don't have Hugh Freeze trying to say, I want this out of my offense, but he's asking for it through an offense of someone that he's not familiar with the terminology. And you could say, well, we should, you know, vetted this on the front end. And look, I get that. And I'm in agreement with you. It was a bad marriage. It did yield incredible results in recruiting, a lot of momentum there. But you know, that was the first time ever that Hugh Freeze didn't call plays and sat back. And I think it obviously hurt. And it was something that he was not very comfortable with. And the good news is he remedied it nearly immediately and stacked up the offensive staff like he wanted it. So that in and of itself is a reason that I think the offense, just simply making that change, makes everybody better, in my opinion, because you have a play caller that is going to be calling plays with his terminology. You're going to have a on-field quarterback coach that we're going to talk about in just a second that's going to be able to help game plan the way that a game plan, a system that he knows, that he's called some plays for, that he helped with Hugh Freeze at Liberty. And then you're going to have an offensive coordinator that knows where the skill guys need to be and what is expected from the details, the small details, knows what expected from the skill guys of this offense. So when you add those three things together, and it's not two guys trying to learn another guy's system, it's two guys that know a guy's system, and they have thrived in another guy's system, and they're going to all be pushing in the same direction just in and of itself. If you took the exact same roster, it's got to make the offense better. So that's number one that I think is going to be absolutely massive. The details, the trifecta of Hugh, Derek Nix, and Kent Austin all pulling in the same direction, I think is going to help pay massive, massive dividends moving forward this offense. So that's one reason I'm going to be excited to see the product on the field on Saturday, everybody pulling in the same direction. And you heard it with Peyton Thorne. He didn't have to say that. And he doesn't normally typically say things like that in interviews. A lot of times he's pretty bland, but he was comfortable and he just let it out there. Look, quite frankly, it was not great last year. It was not great last year. And right now we're doing the things that we should have been doing last year. So take that for what you, take it for what you will there. I think that's a reason. We got reasons as to confirmation as to what happened last year. I don't think we got excuses, because an excuse would be it's not my fault and we're going to hope it doesn't happen again. Again, there was an issue. We fixed it. It's not going to happen again. Simple as that. So if you want to be cool and call it an excuse, whatever. I just think you're dumb, basically. You just don't understand the definition of those words. Basically, that's 100%. You just don't understand the difference between those words. So second reason I think that this offense is going to take a massive step forward is Kent Austin being an on-field coach. And you say, why is that such a big deal? I mean, he was here last year. If you're familiar with a lot of the rulings on and the differentiation between an analyst or an assistant off-field coach and an on-field coach, you would know that prior to last season, there was a big rule voting, basically a vote on a rule change that would allow face-to-face and on-field coaching during games. So the setup currently is an assistant was an assistant. An assistant position coach was just simply that, an assistant position coach. They helped facilitate drills. In theory, there could not be a lot of one-on-one on-field and practice field coaching. You could help in film preparation. You could help in film study. But when it got to being on the practice field, those guys could not really one-on-one interact. It had to go through the position coach. And there were several coaches that were brought in with the expectation that that rule would be changed to allow assistants to not be able to recruit off campus, but be able to help one-on-one coach. There were several coaches brought in like that. Kent Austin is one. Tanner Burns. I'll talk about that for just a second. Tanner Burns was brought in to be your special teams guy. So the thought was, you know, Tanner Burns, he's our special teams guy. We're going to keep him in an analyst or assistant role, but he'll still be able to coordinate special teams. You don't have to go out and recruit a lot for special teams. We just need to make sure special teams is working. We got somebody kind of that's their baby. That's what they're doing. Well, when this rule was basically denied, Tanner Burns could not call plays during a game. So when you had your kickoff coverages, he had to basically signal it to someone else on the sideline, and that was an on-field coach, and that person had to call the plays. He had, and during practices, a lot of times he would have to put the plan together and then let another coach sort of teach the plan, and he assisted that way. So that is another person. That was a big issue there. You know, I don't want to say luckily, but there was an opening during the season with Wesley McGriff stepping back, and he got to be an on-the-field coach and get to call the plays. Those type of things. Vontrell King Williams, he was our new defensive line coach. He was another one. He was brought in as a technician. He was brought in as someone that was going to be hands-on. He was brought in as someone with the expectation to be able to work one-on-one with these kids, and he wasn't allowed to do that because that vote was voted down. So he was just simply an assistant. That's why it was not such a massive reach to say that we could just promote from within, because that's why he was brought in. He was brought in to be a one-on-one coach, not to be somebody to go get coffee, not to be somebody to go get, go clean the office and things like that, be an assistant, go make send faxes and emails. He was brought in to be a coach. So it wasn't that huge of a reach. And that's why you're already seeing players, like, it's like a seamless transition. And some say they may even like him more because he was brought in to be a coach. Same with Kent Austin. Imagine bringing in a guy that's supposed to be your quarterback guru, quarterback whisperer, and the only time he can really talk with the players is, inside an office looking at film. You can't really go through live. Hey, it looks like you're doing this with your throw motion. It looks like you're doing this. What are you seeing? And on top of all that, Kent Austin is trying to see what the quarterback's seeing through another offense that he's not necessarily familiar with. So it was just the impact of having Kent Austin be able to be on the field, in the ear of the quarterbacks, of the quarterback room, in practice, during live reps, during live games. Just simply that fact of being able to take him from an assistant role to a on-field coach role is going to pay huge dividends and help this offense take a massive step forward. Now, they're going to vote on this rule again, and I think we kind of expect it to they kind of expect it to pass this time. So there's another thing. You're going to be able to bring in some guys. There's a lot of incentive now to come in as an analyst or come in as an assistant to the assistant coach, because you will have the ability to attract better talent. You'll be able, as far as from a coaching perspective, you'll be, because they're going to have interactions. They're going to be able to give their input. They're going to have an impact on the players. I think I'm hoping that obviously that vote goes through, because you can only do so much with, the amount of coaches that you're allowed on field at any one time. So being able to do that. And there's another cool rule. This is kind of a sidebar that they're hoping they can pass, is that your only coaches that are allowed to recruit off the field are just your on field coaches. But I think what they possibly could do is I think the rule is semi to like the franchise tag-ish, but in recruiting, where you could tag an off-the-field guy as one of your X amount of recruiters, if it's 11, 12, 13, whatever it is. So you could have guys like maybe like a Kenyatta Watson that could be able to go on visits, and he doesn't necessarily coach a position, but he's a dog recruiter, and you're seeing the stuff going on in Atlanta. Maybe that rule passes as well. I'm getting way off topic, but this is kind of what I do. But anyway, regardless, the impact of Kent Austin, no longer, we don't have to rely on those votes. He's an on-the-field coach. And just being able to be one-on-one with Peyton Thorne, one-on-one with Hank Brown, one-on-one with Walker White, one-on-one with Holden Gariner, whoever stays, whatever the room looks like in fall, having him one-on-one with those guys makes an absolute massive, massive impact. So we're just going to have to see how things play out. But I think when you factor those two things in, it's hard to imagine a scenario where the offense doesn't take a big step forward. Before we talk about the last one, which could be the most important one, we got to give a shout out to PlainsCoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON for 10% off. Look, I've beat it to death. Stop going to the big box store. Stop buying that big old tin of old coffee and save your gas, save your time. Your time is precious. Go online, take about 5 minutes, get that freshly ground coffee coming your way days before it ships, freshly ground days before it ships, and you can get all the same stuff that you can get at the grocery store. Get it coming. Don't, you don't even have to leave your couch. You know, wake up in the morning, you feel like you need coffee, running a little low, boom, hit the order on plainscoffee.com. Hopefully you're prepared and you got some stash to hold you over. But once it arrives, you're going to smell that fresh aroma from the mailbox. You're going to be ready and ready to go, basically. So check them out, plainscoffee.com. There's a roast for everyone. There's a roast for everyone. And if you don't like coffee, they got teas too. So check them out. Use coupon code BUTTON, BUTTON, and save 10%. So check them out, plainscoffee.com. There's no secret that last year, the offense, look, there was a lot of problems, okay? There was a lot of issues from, there was bad quarterback play at times. There was poor wide receiver play at times, most of the time. And there's just a lot of issues that really led to the poor production that you saw on the field. But one thing I think we finally have, maybe for the first time since Seth Williams, you know, which wasn't that long ago, but, you know, maybe the first time since Seth Williams, you have a true go-to guy. And you saw the impact that a guy like Seth made at times where, you know, when things break down, I just got a guy I can go to. And that guy's going to win battles more than he's not. He's going to win battles more than he's not. So you got a guy that I think, you know, when you have a top five player in the country or six player in the country, whatever he ended up being ranked with Cam Coleman, you have expectations. You expect them to be an impact, but you don't really expect him to come in and essentially take over as quickly as he can. Maybe you typically get it by like the, I don't know, week two or week three of a season where he's sort of getting game reps and things like that. Rarely do you see a guy come in, and it's not like it's a portion that see it. It's unanimous. Everyone that lays eyes on Cam Coleman at practice sees that that guy is different than everybody else in the room. If Cam Coleman can stay healthy, we have a pot. I mean, it's hard to predict because obviously anything can happen, but just from a go-to guy standpoint, we have a Seth Williams with a higher ceiling type player for the first time in, you know, 4 or 5 years. And I think just simply that makes your offense better in general, because again, once plays break down or, you know, you get quick pressure. You know, we feel good about the offensive line, but, you know, stuff happens. Dudes get through. You saw Alabama has, you know, a two deep of all five stars, and their offense was trash. I mean, offensive line was trash. They let Jalen Milroe get sacked a million times. He's running for his life. So it's going to happen. But when you get quick pressure and you get guys that are in on, you know, blitzes and things that don't get picked up, and you just got to get one up. Get one in the area of Cam Coleman. You finally have a guy that you feel confident can just make the play. He's just going to come down with it. A guy that can get separation. And even if he doesn't get separation, he can make the play. Catch radius is talked about a lot. All you hear about is, you know, one hand catch this, ball behind him, catch that. If it's a guy that if you just get it in the vicinity, you feel like he can make the play. Rivaldo had that at times, but he is just – he's a freak, but he's not nearly as gifted from an athletic standpoint as, you know, as Cam Coleman. So just having a guy like that makes your offense better. It draws attention. It makes other things open up. Just having a guy like Cam Coleman and you feel pretty confident that it's going to be a hit, as long as he can stay healthy, you feel like you're in a very good spot from a true go-to guy at wide receiver. Who steps up behind him, we'll still have to see. It could be someone in the portal. It could be someone, one of the younger guys that's coming in. Perry Thompson just posted a picture that he's only a couple of weeks away on Twitter, and you see him in, you know, his Auburn uniform, a picture of him in his Auburn uniform, and you just forget how freakishly athletically ready that kid is to go. You know, if you can add another, you know, another weapon, even if he's sort of like a Deebo Samuel type player, where it's not necessarily I'm going to beat you down the field, but, you know, I'm going to get the ball in space, I'm going to run the ball, things of that nature, topped on top of what you get from Cam Coleman. There's a lot of just a lot of optimism, and it's hard to imagine when you add up the details, the impact of Ken Austin, and you add in the impact of a Cam Coleman to this offense, it's hard not to see how just those three things in general, you know, and also coupled with how, you know, let's just be honest, the production from last year was not great. So it's hard to imagine how you don't improve just year over year from that. But when you add those three things, you could see, I think you're going to see a huge jump for the offense moving forward. And hopefully that this flavor of continuity, this flavor of everybody pulling in the same direction, everybody on the same page, is something that can continue and something that we can keep building on. Because from an offensive perspective, this, honestly, instead of this being like year two, it's basically like year one and a half. You know, it's like year one and a half, because you kind of feel like the offense last year was just sort of a wash. It was just there so that we could get recruiting under control. We could get the mechanisms in place that we needed to be able to replenish this roster and get this roster in shape. And it's getting there. It's getting there. The defensive backfield is set for multiple years. I don't even know what your starting rotation is going to be, because guys are fighting tooth and nail. You have young defensive linemen that you got that are already going to be in the rotation. They're going to be good. They're not just bodies. They're good players. You know, you got young linebackers coming in already. DJ Barber already getting some reps with the first team just to get that experience. You know, you got pass rushers, Joseph Phillips, Amaris Williams, Jamonta Waller, that are all getting rave reviews. And you got some young offensive linemen that are already making an impact. It's hard to say that last year was a failure when you look at the roster and how it was built. And I truly believe that it would have been really hard to do that if Hugh had been in this scenario last year. I really do. I think you needed the boost for recruiting to start off with to sort of get the ball rolling. And, you know, I think maybe he wanted to do it for more than 1 year, but it was such a disaster. We had to make a change, which I love. I love ownership and taking it and making a change. So I think we're going to see some huge step forwards. I'm excited to be there, or I'm excited to see it on Saturday. I'm hoping that I'll be able to be there. I got a dad responsibility. I got some dad responsibilities. I got a cheer competition, but I'm going to be hauling it to try to get back for the game, because I want to see it in person. I want to be there. I want to be there to support the guys. I want to be there to see it. So if you see me around, give me a shout, and I look forward to it. Hopefully we'll see our boy Ford Stokes. I'm sure Zach will be there. A lot of the guys, familiar faces that we all talk with, that you hear on the Auburn podcast, in the Auburn podcast world, I'm sure you'll see them there. So it should be a fun event, and I'm looking forward to it. So I really appreciate it, guys. This is episode 31 of the Top Button Podcast. Like this video, subscribe to this channel. It helps. It helps with the algorithm. If you got questions, put it in the comments. I answer every single one. I interact with every single comment. Even if you're ugly, even if you don't like me, I'm going to interact. I'm going to make a joke about it. So if you say something, you know, derogatory, we're going to have fun about it. And hopefully I'll make you laugh. So I love the interaction. So definitely don't hesitate and reach out. So we really appreciate it. Follow me on Twitter, _Charlie_5, and we'll recap a day next Tuesday. So I really appreciate it. Y'all have a great weekend. Enjoy the festivities. Go see the baseball game. Go see a softball game, whatever they got going this weekend. Just go Auburn out. Just bug all weekend. Just do all the Auburn things. Get you some Tumors lemonade. Go to Mama Goldberg's. Go to Byron's for breakfast. Do all the Auburn things. this weekend and just have fun. Roll tumors afterwards as well. So y'all enjoy it, and we'll talk back on Tuesday. Again, I really appreciate it. This is episode 31 of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.